And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since we heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The reading of the word of the Lord.
The church in Ephesus became known in the first century as one of the strongest churches that had been started by Paul, we think. And this letter is written very late, but yet in it we hear such glorious words about what it means to be the church. What a perfect set of words for us to hear on a day like today, when we're thinking about how 39 years ago, there were a small group of people who started what we enjoy now. Often when we think about the history of the church, we think about its ministers, and it seems like every year that I've been with you, we've had a guest, former minister or associate minister, come and be our preacher for the day. But I felt the Lord say to me, you know, it's not just about the preachers, Mr. Preacher, get over yourself. It's about my people. It's about my people who make the church, who are the church. For all are gifted to serve, and all are what make it strong. And if you have to rely on the pastor's strength, you're in deep trouble in this congregation. But I'm so grateful that even from the beginning, we had lay leaders who were stepping up to be strong, to exercise their gifts, to share from their heart, filled with love by the Holy Spirit, as did Stephen at the beginning of the church's history altogether. Well, two of the people that were a part of this place before this place got built are the two people who are sitting with me today, who I've invited to come from all the way across town, Oakville. Millions of people between us and you. Yeah, and you probably fought most of them on traffic on the way here, but it's a Sunday morning, so it was a little easier, I think. Yeah, but I'm so grateful that you're still in range, because many in that first group are no longer in range to come and visit us at the drop of an invitation like that. But as I think about you being here, there's four things that I'm hearing from the scriptures that I thought maybe you could maybe give us some infill on. And the first one is what I find in verse 14, that Brother David, who's also a church planner here in our city now, how beautiful at the very beginning and us looking back all at the same time together. Paul writes, the Holy Spirit is given to you as a deposit. We all bank. We all understand banking language. It means I put something away because I'm going to need it later. Inheritance is what we put away so that others will get it eventually from us. And this word inheritance has the root, heritage. It's what we set up, what we do, what we are, so that we can leave behind for someone else something that will be better and good for them, to make their life better. And when I think about heritage, I think about what my heritage is and your spiritual heritage. And I don't know if I know that much about your spiritual heritage. I've met you, but you were gone from us before I came 12 and a half years ago. But tell me a little bit about your heritage. You may have a history with the Wesleyan Church, I'm not sure, but how did you come to faith? How is it that it was passed on to you to be believers?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a Wesleyan pastor, so he moved around this district. And at one time, he was a pastor in Toronto, Amroth,
our mother church.
And that's how I came to Toronto, and I remained in Toronto after he moved on to another pastorate. So as we were growing up, we were part of that church, and also part of Silver Lake camps, which were started during my preteen era. So we went to those and to the family camps there, and much good teaching was available to us. We accepted Christ early on, and so can't say I have a really dramatic, life-changing type of conversion or story like some people might have, but it's still real, and it grows all the time. And I'm looking forward to the hope of all of us, really.
Beautiful. Well, your heritage is even with a pastoral family.
Yes,
when
that's
they moved on, you stayed
that's
in
right.
town.
That's
you
right.
You must have liked Toronto really well.
Was moving out of my parents' home at that time, and I had a job here, so yes.
Back when housing was more affordable, I'm sure.
Yes.
Which wasn't too long ago, but it continues to, God help us, go up.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating heritage to have. Dwayne, I didn't interview them. Dwayne and Shirley LeRoy, if you didn't see that in the program already. Yeah. How about you, my friend?
I grew up in the Standard Church, which is now part of the Wesleyan Church in the Ottawa Valley. And I was also in a Christian home and always involved in the church. And Dwayne and I met in March of 1969, and we were married August the 8th, 1970. And so the Amroth Wesleyan Church became my home church. And I was involved there. I taught the teen class for a number of years. And then when we had the twins, I was very active in getting the nursery program started there, because at that time there seemed to be quite a few young families coming with babies, and didn't make the service too quiet. So I thought, well, we probably need a nursery. So we set up a nursery there. And that was my connection to Amroth, and then, of course, involved with Milligan as we transferred here. Yes.
Well, I think that's beautiful that as you were raised in the church and as you served in it yourself and took it as your family, as your life stage has evolved, so did your engagement. Mm-hmm. That it was, what can I do to help those in my stage of life?
That's right.
That's a pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lesson maybe we all can learn that, you know, it's something we have a heart for because we're right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. How can we be a solution?
Exactly, exactly.
And what a beautiful heritage that you were part of the Standard Church and you were part of the Wesleyan Methodist Church, and that those two groups kind of merged in 2003. It's like they followed your marriage, you know, decades later.
You were before our time.
You were before your time, exactly. You were pointing the way forward before we even knew what that was.
That's right. I did get a hard time sometimes with some of my friends when I was dating Dwayne, because I was dating a Wesleyan, not someone who was a Standard, but it's all turned out good.
Now you call him back and say, so where are you now, people? Yeah, you're in it too.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, that's a pretty awesome heritage to have, that all four of your parents were devout believers, mm-hmm. and that they raised you to be in that mind frame, and that you took it for yourself, whether it was a camp or how it came about for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no wonder you were ready to leave a heritage for us too. The next thing that I think about when I read these verses is in verse 11, and there Paul is describing how God is always working a plan. It's like God is, you know, always wanting to create something and build something new. And indeed, as we look around the world, from when Stephen gave his testimony to the society of the freedmen who didn't want to hear it, you know, we're always given an opportunity to be a part of a new plan. I think about how 39 years ago, there had already been a plan taking place, because obviously that would have been like the launch season, right, in the fall of 1980, back for those of us who were actually breathing at that time. Yeah, but you got wrapped up in the plan. Tell me how the plan kind of got you in, or how that all took place, because you were happily serving at Amroth Church, and that was a beautiful thing, but suddenly you were brought into a new plan that God was at work. How did that begin?
Well, as the development in this region back then, you have to think that, well, Finch was the top of the city when we moved to
Country Roads.
There, yeah.
Take me
That's
home,
right.
Finch Avenue, yeah.
Bridalwood Mall wasn't there, none of that. So, we were moving out this way. Younger families were starting to move to Scarborough.
Okay.
And we were one of those. And there were, I guess, around 20 people altogether. Not all of them quite in Scarborough. Well, yeah, I guess they were all out in this area that were traveling into Amroth back and forth two or three times a week. So it became attractive to have a church closer to home, and especially as we were getting children, and they were getting, they would be involved in programs and things.
Yeah.
It got to be, I'm sure everybody sort of understands how that works. And
yeah.
So there was a nucleus there that, that were at the age when they could move out. There were a couple of older ones as well that were, that felt inspired to be part of that group. Ed and Mabel McPherson, I don't know, some of you know them, were part of that group. And they were, they lent maturity, I guess, if you want to say. And
okay, because they were an older couple at the time?
Middle-aged. Now I wouldn't say they were old at all.
Forgive me, that wasn't correct language. But she's passed on, hasn't she?
And Ed passed on before he was able to be part of the Millikan Church. He passed on a couple of years before the church was built. But Mabel was with us for a while, and then after Ed passed away, she relocated back down east to be part of her family down there. But
Ed was an enthusiastic member. I remember the last Sunday before he passed, he was we had a soccer game, and he was playing goal and was having fun.
All right. Just,
yeah.
Getting out there and doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't have to be young to do something new.
No.
That's encouraging to hear.
Right.
Because some of us aren't as young as we used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did the idea first come about that we were going to be in this plan? Did you remember talking about this for the first
time
as a couple?
In here, you mean?
Yeah, to come to this new thing.
Oh, over. You talking about the facility now?
The church itself. When Millikan started, what made you decide, let's do this? Did someone come to you and say, would you please be a part of this? Or did you say,
I don't remember that.
About this?
You maybe do.
Well, I was involved in the community where the kids were going to school and all. And some of my friends had become a Christian and wanted a church home and wanted to be part of a church, but did not like the idea of moving or driving into the cities.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I believe God was very clear in speaking that we needed to be part of having a church out in this area where families could come to church. And that kind of was the motivation. And as we started to pray and to talk and believe that God had a plan for us, and that was really one of our neighbors became Christians at the Billy Graham Crusade, and they were really searching, had no Christian background at all, and used to meet in our home for prayer and Bible study. And so it kind of went from the need to have something out here so that our families and young families could have a place to go. That's kind of where it started.
That's how it happened for you.
For me, yes.
That's awesome. I love that you're describing not just what you were doing in the church, but how your engagement with people outside of the church is what kind of led you to see the plan more clearly for yourselves. I wonder if we do enough of that. We're going to have our mid-year local church conference a week from Wednesday, and we're going to spend some time talking about that very thing. So I'm really glad you brought that up. I didn't know you were going to.
Yeah.
God's plan must be at work here.
Well, as I visited here a week ago for Norma's service, and to be part of the church here this morning, you're doing a good job at reaching out into the community. And I think it's exciting for us to see new people. It's great to see all our old friends and to make acquaintances with them again and to have communication. But it's exciting to see new people and young people. This is where it's all at. And I was thinking as I sat there this morning and watched the kids come up and thought of our own kids and Olaf and Barb's children. Their son, OJ, is now part of the board at Trenton Wesleyan. Our son, Brad, of course, is a pastor in Indianapolis. Our son, Tim, is chairman of the deacons, where he attends church, City Center Baptist Church, and very involved there. And Brendan, he works in the children's program because he can't carry any office because he attends the church where Brad is, and you can't have a family. He's very grateful. He can work in the children's program, but he can't have any other office.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's at. Us, for all of us, is to be active in the community, because then you're aware of the needs.
Indeed, very important. Praise God that His plan is being made clear to us as we just engage with people, and the Spirit just kind of leads us that direction. Amazing. The third thing that I hear about in this passage is in verse 17. I really love this verse because it says that God is going to give us two things, and one of them is wisdom, and one of them is revelation. And as I think about how we sing, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, wisdom is what we need for the present, and revelation is what we need for what's still in the future. It's like God is leading His dear children along, as the hymn says so beautifully, and a good, good father, as the contemporary worship song we just sang reminds us, but we still need God to give us the wisdom to know when to move, when not to move, what to jump on, what not to jump on. I can imagine, I can only imagine, because I am not a church planter type of pastor. That's just not who I was cut out to be. I'm glad that God sent you someone who was before me. But as you kind of work through the start of that whole community, that whole faith group, I'm sure there were some hurdles and there were some joys, things that really took a lot of time to press through, or things that there was different ideas on and you needed wisdom from God. Can you think of some times in the years that you were a part of it, for the first 26 years of its existence that you were part of the church here, that you look back and you say, wow, that was a significant time when it really could have gone south, but the Lord helped us, or we really had to work through that and take some time? What are the challenges that stand out?
The first challenge was getting a pastor that had the energy and the drive and the wisdom, I guess, to put all of this together, the organizational capacity that's required of starting a church. Yeah, it's a lot. In those early years, there was a lot of involvement with the township and the authorities as far as zoning and all of that goes and what to come together. But you're talking about the planning. I know, maybe I'm getting ahead of your outline.
Whatever you want to
talking about the planning of this building starting 39 years ago. Mm-hmm. But in my thinking about this morning, I realized it started a long time before that, because before my father went to Amroth, Pastor Allen's father was the pastor at Amroth, Reverend Mervyn Summers, who later became associate pastor here.
Yeah.
And at the time they were in Ottawa, that's where they were pastoring when they moved from Amroth, and that was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And at that time there was a young fellow, probably in his teens then, that went to that church called Claude Bennett. And it turned out that he ended up to be the Ministry for Housing for Ontario in the 80s when we came.
How convenient.
Yeah. So he had, and I don't know all the detail of this because I wasn't on the, on the meetings, because I had a daytime job. And this happened in the daytime,
obviously.
So Pastor Allen was involved with this. And I'm sure there was influence with the developers, because just from the fact he knew the Minister of Housing.
Right.
Not that the Minister of Housing got involved and did anything wrong or anything, but it has influence. And he actually came to one of our services in his chauffeured limo over at the school, yeah.
Nice.
When we first started, we were in a school at in Scarborough, because there was nothing, as I said, there was nothing up here. Nothing north of much of Finch, or certainly north of Steeles. It was coming. In the 80s, there were developments in here. And then the next year, we moved into Milliken Mills Public School when they opened for their first year.
Oh, okay.
And those were very suitable facilities. Like, those were things that worked out in the plan. I believe it was all there when it needed to be.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this, before I forget, was when a big part of it was locating where the church would be as part of our prayers and part of our planning was where would our church finally end up. And we'd explored all of Northern Scarborough, and there were very small lots available, like 3/4 of an acre or something, which is hardly adequate.
Yeah.
So that didn't fit. And then we were working after the Minister of Housing got involved. We got in touch with some of the developers in the Markham area. And the tail end of it was we were looking at a lot up Birch Mount Road because we wanted something on a main thoroughfare, not in a subdivision,
right,
for exposure.
Right.
And we thought there was a property up, I guess, Denison and Birchmount in that area somewhere that we were looking at. And they went to a meeting and they came back, and the word from the developers was, we don't see you up there. We sort of think maybe down at Kennedy and Steeles there'd be a property that might work better for you. So we came over to this cornfield that was sitting here, and we wandered around it, and yeah, we thought that sort of seemed like a better deal. And it is right at the crossroads of the world now, basically.
No kidding, right?
Everybody from all over comes through here,
yeah,
and can be ministered to by the people in Milliken.
We pray so.
Yeah.
That is fascinating that even a non-believer was pointing you a different direction.
Well, the other anecdotal element to this that I heard from, I forget who, was that the developer in question, they had two developers involved. One had a property on the other side of, a plot on the other side of Clayton.
Yeah.
And this other developer had a couple on this side.
Yeah.
And the other developer had one on this side, and they swapped. So this became a viable piece of property, and the other developer got the property on the other side of Clayton. So.
Okay.
And the original developer that we got this property from said, I think if I remember, don't quote me on this, but I think the price we paid for this property was $150,000, which back then even was a good deal.
What county is that in? Yeah. So far away from where we live now.
So the developer, the anecdote I heard was the developer said, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm not even that generous with my own church.
We know what you were thinking.
Yeah.
God was flipping you, baby. That was what it was.
I wouldn't have said that, but yes. That's
probably. That God would orchestrate them to switch properties without anything to do with you guys knowing it. That they would direct
you. Well, no, that was after they knew that we wanted to move here.
Oh.
They just worked out a business deal to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the generosity with the price, I think, was what he was talking about.
Incredible. Well, that's a huge hurdle. But one guy
was certainly able to
overcome.
It's the basis for what we... But then you have the next phase.
Yeah, yeah.
After that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, certainly that whole issue of finding a land to call your own and to build on, that would have been probably the biggest thing in the first decade of the church's life. And thankfully it came through, and we're still under...
Well, beyond the growing of the congregation, which was happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley can tell you some more about that. I think you have that in your notes.
Probably. I will tell you when the gentleman called to say that we had this property. Dwayne was out of town on business. I was home with the three boys trying to give them...
Who the gentleman was.
Claude Bennett. was his name. That's my maiden name.
Oh,
Bennett,
is that right?
But no relation. That's another story. But anyway, Brad was at the table with the kids, and he was making the other kids laugh so hard. I couldn't hear what this gentleman was trying to tell me. He was trying to give me a number that Dwayne was chairman of the board to call.
Oh, oh.
So I got it right, thankfully. But I often remind Brad about that he had everybody laughing so that I couldn't get all of the information that I was to get. But yes, Dwayne was more part of the business part of it. I was more part of the family. And I remember walking around in this area at night giving out flyers and all about the church, and we were made partners with other people, and it was exciting to go to people's homes to talk to them. You wouldn't do that now, probably out wandering around at night, but Back then, we did that.
And
yes, we in the community. So that was where it was, inviting people to the school.
Yeah.
And that's where we started.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Are there any other, as you think about other parts and seasons in the church's life that you were a part of, and clearly involved in leadership, were there hurdles, were there joys that really stand out for you?
A couple I have. We wanted to be called the Millikan Wesleyan Methodist Church, and of course we had to go to headquarters to get permission to have Methodist in our
name.
And I remember the morning Reverend Alan Summers announced that that had been approved by headquarters, and I believe we're the only church in North America, the Wesleyan Church, with Millikan Wesleyan Methodist Church, because we were in the community. The Methodists seem to have a very significant part of who they recognized as a church.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the first Easter Sunday morning. We were over at the school, and we knew a lot of people were going away for the holiday, so we put out 30 chairs. Well, the people kept coming and coming. We ended up with 80 people on that Easter Sunday morning. People had saw our sign, and there were 80 people in church on Sunday morning, with a lot of the regulars not there. So, that is still pretty significant, and there isn't many Easters that pass that I don't think about that, thinking Easter. Yes, people come to church at Christmas and Easter, so.
Yeah.
But they came that morning, and there were 80 there, so, which was pretty significant.
Yeah, and what an encouragement to you, giving heart and soul to the whole project, mm-hmm. and feel like some of your regulars are mm-hmm. scatting for the biggest holiday of the year
right.
in Jesus' mm-hmm. equation, and yet God made up more than the
mm-hmm.
loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful.
Right.
I love it. Any other specific joys or hurdles that you guys want to share with us?
Well, you forget the hurdles. That may seem hard to believe, but you do, and you rejoice in what God is doing and continues to do, and that's what it's all about.
Amen to that. Amen to that. God has a way of selectively filtering our memory so that we see his hand having been at work, even when we were at our wit's end, I'm sure, many times.
Yes, the Sunday or the Saturday before we were to open here, we didn't get the approval till 5 o'clock at night, because they had the firemen had to come through or whatever, and the water wasn't
there,
and everything. We had it was 5 o'clock. I remember that specifically. So that was everything was announced. It was a go, but we weren't ready.
Please God, let this building be fully functional.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a few people remember Lake Millikan too. Like that was a physical hurdle, not a big
Lake
deal.
Millikan.
Yes.
Know what does that mean?
When the building was built, the contractor had gone along, and he hadn't hooked up the drainage system, the catch basin in the parking lot, to the sewer system. And when we got a heavy rain, it would fill up, and then it would start to form a lake. One Sunday, it actually came in the front doors. So Olaf, he would be out there very often with a pump in the parking lot, in his suit, pumping the water from the lake into the over the curb into the drain. They finally did get that fixed, but that was one of the fun
headaches.
Experiences. Yeah,
the hurdle headaches that happen. Well, God bless you for all the years you put in to keep jumping those hurdles and moving past them. Because that's a very good thing. It shows the tenacity and the strength God gives us in those challenging moments. And as you say, the joy remains. Well, the last thing that I think about when I hear this passage read in light of our own history is what's written in verse 18 and 19. And there I see Paul is talking about how we have both hope, which is the future component, and power, which is the assurance that we can get to the future that's being opened up for us by the Lord. I know sometimes we think, oh, we don't have enough strength for that. Oh, we don't have enough money for that. Oh, we don't have enough resources for that. I don't think that's just too risky. And those of us who are more conservative in our way of thinking tend to pull back the reins and say, let's not do that at this time. Let's wait and see. But yet, you know, in this book, Paul is writing very clearly to the church in Ephesus, which was a lay-led church, and very strongly so. His good friends Priscilla and Aquila were there. and some others who he names in another place. But I think about that, that keeping hope alive is such an important part of having the vision that God wants us to have for the now and for the very soon to be now. And I hope that we can keep that alive. I know that when I first came here, you'd only been gone for maybe a couple of seasons. I mean, it wasn't even a full year between my arrival and your departure, but I was glad you were still within range, that we could connect once in a while, and that your love still was here in a powerful way. And when people talked about you, it was all beautiful. In fact, I even got to say this. After the first 4 years, I said, who are these people on the membership roll? They don't come here anymore. We're going to take them off. And the board was like, you absolutely cannot take them off. I said, okay, but I contacted them, and they've said, you can take us off. No, you're not allowed to take them off. I don't care what they said. Okay. And I think
you
it was because...
You wanted us off.
No. I was just trying to do my duty. My discipline as a pastor is to keep the membership roll active and current. But I learned quickly that you were the last charter members who were still on the books, and there was such a heart of love for you that no one wants to let that go. So you're still on the books. So I hope you didn't join your other church.
Thank you. We're not planning to.
This is still our home church.
This is still your home church. Well, you can come a little more often. I'll just throw that in there, even though it's a long ways to drive. But I'm glad a piece of your heart is still here. That's true. When we invest of ourselves, a piece of our heart remains. And we always love to go back to that because it's a good gift that God gives us more family. But I was tangenting there. Verses 18 and 19 about having hope and power for what God is opening up ahead of us is something that we always want to keep alive. I can't wait until my family or my church or my community looks like this or it becomes like this. To have a vision and a hope for the future is so crucial. As you think about what your hopes were from day one, all the way up even till now, as kind of, how should we say, just somewhat associated long-term members of the church, what is your hope for Millican Church? That's a big question, I know. Break it down.
I think we need to be reminded, too, that having the Amroth Church come to be part of us is very, and I'll let Dwayne go.
Yeah, part of that planning, this is we're skipping back a note.
Go ahead.
Part of the planning was the Amroth Church was in a difficult, struggling situation down along the Danforth. They'd been there for decades, and a lot of the people were getting older, and it was becoming a Greek community.
Yes.
So it was hard to minister or do outreach in that area. So as we established here, and the other thing was Pastor Mervyn Summers came back again.
To Pastor Amroth Church. Yeah.
So he was there and Alan Summers was here. And together they worked together to form a bridge so that the merger of the two congregations could happen. A lot of the older folk had issues because they lived on the subway line, or this used to be the streetcar line, now the subway line. And they had no way to get here. So part of that agreement was that we would provide taxi service for anyone that wanted to come from that congregation up to worship, and many did for several years.
Yeah.
And part of them were Evelyn and Joy Johnson.
That's right.
That you
see
in the lobby.
Yeah.
So where was I going with that? Oh, yes, the other thing was when they sold their facility to physically... and officially merge with us, then they brought that assets into Millican.
Yeah.
And we decided not to put them into our operating budget, but instead we built the Amroth wing, the Amroth education wing. And I was just talking to Sasathi before the service, and he's saying that was a provision of God, because all through the payoff of this building that was mortgaged, that we had a Montessori school there, which paid in and supported that and kept the ministry going, and I understand it still does.
Yeah.
So it still feeds into your bottom line, if you will, allows you to do other things with the money that's given in the offerings in the way of ministry. So that's good. They're also contributing to your ministry.
Indeed. Yes. The legacy goes on. Certainly, you know, and that's a great example of how even what we think looks like an ending is still a pump forward to a new beginning. And even what that seemed to be like, you know, the implosion of God's people, it wasn't. It was actually the provision for something even more somewhere else.
Part of their legacy, I guess, is ongoing here.
Yeah, praise God. And not just a building that we use for education and community things and other churches that we host in the building to further the kingdom of God, but also you mentioned the sisters, and I've got to mention that because we're coming up on the Johnson Sisters Memorial Foundation annual meeting again, and as we continue that legacy from what they gave to the church to further children's and music ministry, not just inside this building but in our community, I'm so grateful for the donations that keep coming in for that, because having a foundation is a hugely helpful endeavor. And I've had other church leaders say to me, wow, that was really smart of Millikan Church. I wish all of our churches thought of that, because it becomes a revenue stream that keeps ministry blossoming in new ways that people just don't think of. They think of the inheritance as what I'm going to give to my kids, and we're just going to keep it to ourselves, and that's it. But praise God for people like Joy and Evelyn who had the foresight for that, and a church leadership team here at Millikan that when they went to be with Jesus 5 years ago, it's hard to believe it's been that long, that their legacy continues too. Well, that's a great word about hope. Anything else that you would offer to us as our elders in the faith, as it were?
Well, I guess just coming back here and walking through the doors and seeing all the people and knowing that the greeting that we receive is not any different from the greeting that most people receive when they come here. Mm-hmm. That's unique in a lot of churches. I mean, I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's unique here. It's especially part of Millikan. It always has been. And that you greet everybody from wherever.
Yeah.
And they're part of the body. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it will be someday when we're all.
That was our measuring stick.
My mother used to say, we'll all be united. But.
All right. Yeah. That has a little connotation I wasn't ready for, but okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was part of our measuring stick when we tried to find a new church when we moved to Oakville. How was the greeters?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's so true. There's no other church that we have attended that give us a warm greeting like the people do at Millikan. And it's not just us. It's everyone who comes. Everyone is greeted. And so good job, guys.
Excellent.
And as you mentioned, the other congregations that have been part of this ministry, like when we were here, was Pastor Kevin and the Chinese Methodist Church.
Yes.
We were now down at Warden and 401.
That's right.
And they have their own ministry to their own cultural community down there. And as far as I know, they're doing well. But you were part, Millikan was part of that. And now the Tamil community and the Korean church, that's amazing. That's working on a whole other level.
Yeah, it's true. We're juggling a lot of pieces here, but the Lord is the one that threw them at us, so we got to keep them in the air.
Well, and, He gave us this facility, and you're using it to its full capacity.
The facility has become very rich, and not just because the property under it has skyrocketed, but because of the richness of what God has brought to this place and the open-heartedness of a congregation that says, okay, we'll make space, we'll move, we'll adjust, we'll make room, we'll deal with the inconvenience of I can't get to this room at this time because this group has it here and this group has it here. It gets a little crazy because it's like a community center in some ways, but it's so much richer than that because the Lord is worshipped here by many people in many languages. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Anything else? Words of wisdom, my friends, or things to share?
Just be aware that people need God. Just be aware that people need God in their lives, and to be open to providing an opportunity to do whatever God calls us to do.
Amen. Amen. This is what it's about. Wow. Well, I'm so grateful for kind of that vision that you had, even from the beginning when you thought about, we have kids in Scarborough, the drive to East York isn't working for us anymore. we got to get something so our neighbors can come and a new believer neighbor who I'm engaging with can come. I mean, that all along, God has kind of fed you and put you in the key places to be a help to what he wanted to do next. And I think maybe that's the beauty of the wisdom and the revelation piece working in tandem with each other. God gives us just enough a sense of what we need to do to engage what he wants to do one step ahead of us, right? So it's always like being led, you know, with just enough light in front of you to go just a couple more steps and trust that it's not going to be a cliff or a ditch. And so that's so awesome. Thank you for living that. Thank you for being lay leaders, because on behalf of the pastors you served under, my four predecessors, I know that they were blessed by your service, because as I've met each of the four of them, they've mentioned you by name and said that you had heart all in and that you modeled for others something that they could only do, but they were paid to say it. And you weren't paid to say it. You did it because of love. You did it because you recognized that God had gifted you, and that might be a stronger testimony than anything we've heard since I've been here. So thank you for that. Thank you. What I want to do in just these moments that we have together is for us to take our own thoughtful response to what was shared from Ephesians chapter 1 and what our brother and sister have said to us. I want you to find someone else in the room, someone who's not in your pew, and someone who's not related to you. And I want you to share to them what your hope is for this congregation, what your hope is for Millican Church. Because as we speak out loud, sometimes God brings a new thing to life. And if we don't take time to do this, then it remains internal and never opened up. So take a few minutes now. Find someone you can sit near. Someone maybe you don't know yet. And someone you know well, again, who's not in your row, who's not a relative. And share your vision, your hope for Millican Church. Let's do that now.
He wants to see you from the start. You know, guys.